This interview with Wayne Bruton was recorded on April 17th, 2021, during the Baltimore Youth Film Arts Workshop, Inside Stories, Perspectives on Incarceration.
Grew up in the upper part of West Baltimore, Hemisphere Village, to be exact. I come from about a family of Jehovah Witnesses. That's where my faith base was. Very structured environment. Had a lot of good morals and principles, a lot of good virtue was instilled in me. Loved playing sports. I was, a very good athlete. And however, I had a craving, to live a rebellious lifestyle. As a result, at age 17, I was convicted of murder and armed robbery and sent to life in prison. Bad choices. I don't think it was any form of what you would call like peer pressure as we as a child tried to escape out, culpability of certain situations. It's choices that we make, not basically knowing the consequences of them. And as a result of that, one mistake, can basically like ruin your life. Didn't care to probably take the ladder on that because, a very aggressive individual. I'm a very loving, caring, pretty, a nurturing person, even though I had a rebellious, little lifestyle there, but I was just a different type of individual. Hated authority figures, so I wasn't going to if I was going to take nothing from off the the administration, I wasn't going to take nothing off the fellow inmates. I can't really even speak for them. I probably they was probably devastated at that particular moment. But me myself, I knew I was going to prison. I knew that from early age, that I probably would wind up in a situation like that because of the type of lifestyle that I chose to embrace. I think when I had a murder charge, I probably that right there was the ultimate for my family and stuff. But I've been in out of juvenile facilities. Practically, that's when I grew up in there. I went in when I was age 17, I came out, I was 57. Man, I first got arrested, man, in 1967, man, for shoplifting. I've been stealing since I was probably in like the third grade, smoking weed, smoking cigarettes, and driving cars. I was just a different type of mischievous, young child. It ain't nothing good about prison, seeing it. All that's bad, man. All that's bad. I just went to prison during a different era of time. When I went to prison, it was a lot of violence. It was a lot of sexual abuse. A lot of young kids getting raped. It was a lot of racism. So that's what I experienced and stuff. A lot of brutality, a lot of physical, mental abuse, a lot of torture. I always fought, correctional officers, always fought the staff. So that's what I used to do all the time, But like I said, I was a hell of an athlete, so I used to like play sports real good. So a lot of times the things you see on TV, well, I was a type of athlete like that. The first 7 years of my incarceration, I was like a terror. I was bad as shit. I used to stay back and forth from segregation, always fighting, always into things. I wasn't the baddest person in the prison, but the baddest people ain't bothered me either. Though early on it didn't teach me anything. One day, a fella by the name of George Smith, I came from off one of my stints on segregation. And he asked me in the yard, he said, "When you trying to die in prison?" I said, "Man, anybody trying to die in prison?" He said, "Man, why don't you come up Cap JC's, man?" He was the president of the self-help organization called the JC. He used to have it on Monday night. So, I basically had nothing to do. And I told him I would come up there, see how the meeting was. And it was the introduction to JC's, basically, was my springboard to rehabilitation. So that gave me a lot of structure. And that right there was what I was missing in my life. And that's when we learned about the brain development. When an individual don't fully mature to you, he prospers 25, 26 years of age. And that's when that light bulb moment comes, you become responsible. You become accountable. The science is definitely true. I'm a living example of that. My background is from Jehovah's Witness. As I mentioned earlier to you guys, that that's, you know, the family I came from, out of a family, Jehovah's Witness. If y'all know anything about David, they're very structured. I always had that. So, you know, a couple of religions I dibbled, dabbled in, but one that both suited me was more science. So basically, Islam, I embraced that. So, and took on the attributes of my name as Wayne Bruton Bay. You're right on point. And that's basically what it was, being in the Baltimore life, that you had to grow up fast, you know what I mean? You had to have a cold heart, you know what I mean? You couldn't have any, you know, couldn't show any form of fears, you know what I mean? You couldn't be afraid. So, my transformation really didn't occur until like 30 years into my sentence, even though I mentioned to you when I was introduced to JCs, that was like at the beginning stage. So all we know from JCs, I became a membership director of JCs. So I used to do a lot of like fundraisers and walkathons and raise money for, you know, battered women or AIDS and cancer research. And I never fully understood why I used to do all these things and do a lot of positive and productive things when I got to that age and stuff. So like I said, it was 30 years into my sentence. And I was watching Channel 13. It was a breaking news. It was a husband shoots wife. And so as I was looking at it, my soul got the feeling kind of funny. So I went to dinner. When I came back, it was mail call. I got a letter from my sister. So the very next morning when I awoke, when I seen the recap, husband shoots wife and kills himself. Then I seen the address, but I didn't catch the street. So once again, I proceeded to breakfast, but my soul wasn't sitting right, so I couldn't eat. I'm thinking about my sister. So I came back to the dormitory and called. She worked at the diagnostic center. She was a nurse. Didn't get an answer, so I said, well, she get off at 7:30. I called her then. That evening, Channel 13 News, that was her. She was shot and killed by her boyfriend. And I had the opportunity to see all that on the screen, put the phone down, and I started crying. And I didn't cry for my sister. I cried for the young man's life that I took. I finally understood what trauma was. I finally understood what the pain and hurt that the Harold Jenkins family went through, you know. And I started the victim awareness program in honor of him. So the third week of April in the Virginia Corrections is Victim Awareness Week, where victims and defendants can get together for healing and reconciliation and forgiveness. And I brought that program home with me. That's what I do now with Panacea Media Foundation. We go around the city of Baltimore. We deal with, you know, victims, and we deal with offenders, and we bring them together for healing. I used to love hanging in the street. Yeah, I wouldn't trade none of my experiences in. You know, it made me who I am. Met a lot of good people, you know, along the way through my journey. Better place now where I make, you know, some better decisions now. I believe I made a speedy reparation to the best of my ability, to, you know, to the God that I serve. So, you know what I mean? I know that God don't judge you by your mistakes. He judges you by your heart. That's one of the most terrible things that prevents a lot of healing from going on with any physical corrections, because you can't reach out to victims. Being rehabilitated, redeeming itself with them, redeeming qualities that all us have, you know, within us. So when you coming up, you know what I mean, and, you know, a lot of pain people go through in life, and we just look at the individual, like we look at the news today, a young man, 15 years of age, you might see kill somebody. You talking about how they used to lock them up or throw away the key. We don't know what that 15-year-old kid going through. We don't know what type of trauma he go through at home. Or a lot of these little kids you see out here, how they been, you know what I mean, abused sexually, physically, poverty, you know what I mean, lack of, you know, education. We got it real messed up in this world. And sometimes people just got to open up their heart, man, and see things for what it is, man. You know, we all experience this. Try to live in them little kids' shoes, you know what I mean, to walk down every day and see their parents on drugs and stuff, or see all these abandoned homes and shit, go to school, teachers don't care. Kid probably eat 3 or 4 days. You wonder why a little kid robbed and steal and shit. That's just, you know, another twist, another perspective to look at things, you know what I mean? I wouldn't even know. But, you know, I forgive myself. Forgiveness is a personal thing. I can't even speak for them in that regard. I only can speak for myself on that. I've asked God for forgiveness. I mean, God know what my heart, know what my heart is. My sister's death allowed me to live, and meaning that you know, my soul was clean. That light bulb moment, you know what I mean? That I knew I had to do something, you know what I mean? To honor this young man, life that I had took. I had to live a life of righteousness. Allowed me to see, you know, what reality and life really was. I've been home 4 years. I'm still getting to basically know my family. When I came home, I got married when I was away to my childhood friend. And I came home, and I was with her for 3 years, and she passed away of cancer August of last year. When I came home, the first 3 years, I had to stick with my wife. It was me and her because she had cancer, so I never knew when, you know, a lot was going to take away from me. So it was just her and I. So I really hadn't had an opportunity to really build a relationship with my family. I'm in the process of doing that now. Set me back was the abandoned homes and the lack of family struggles. Everything else, you know, they do have cell phones and computers and stuff in prison. You know that, don't you? PlayStations and the Xboxes and all that in prison. You don't know that, do you? When I left the community that I came up with, it was a very beautiful community. Very, you know what I mean, family oriented. I came back, man, this stuff was looked like a bomber hit Baltimore City. So that right there was a shock. But everything else, you know what I mean? I knew everything basically was that besides, like, you know, all the landmarks and stuff, the amazing landmarks and stuff like that. So I didn't basically skip a beat. Damaged goods, too. Prison messed a lot of us up, man. That, man, that stuff, that shit was hell we went through in there. It wasn't no cakewalk. We suffered a lot in there. But when I first came home, I just wanted to be with my wife and take a bath. That was it. You allow, believe like 7 visits a month. I still got a lot of lads. I'm still aggressive. I still be on prison terms, and mean I ain't even know a lot of bullshit. I get agitated real quickly when shit ain't done the way I want it done, and you know I'm very demanding, and so I still got to work on a lot of that. And, you know, communication still dealing with, you know what I mean, real civilians and stuff, you know what I mean, because I respond in kind. So I got to work on that. You get smart with me, you'll see. All right. So I just got to work on it. That's all. Got to work on it. Listen and pay attention. Listen. You know, when you see the individual come past you and drop their jewel on you, just listen. People used to water me all the time because you recall remembrance and stuff. You know what I mean? Like a lot of older guys used to always try to, you know, pull my coat and hit me to certain things. You know, you're a kid, think that you know everything. To me, it was normal because I told you I had extensive time in the juvenile facility. So it wasn't nothing. Because all my friends was there. That stuff wasn't nothing. I have like 15 out. Personally, hands-on, everyday deal with, you know what I mean? Is try to, you know, educate them on the do's and the don'ts. I don't try to put no compulsion on them, you know, to follow what I'm saying. I just, you know, say what I have to say, drop the jewels, and we just keep it moving. So I try to keep them engaged in a lot of positive, stimulated conversations and the community, you know what I mean, engagements. Right there, that's the tug-of-war we're in today. First of all, you know what I mean, as a positive individual and stuff, and as a man anyway, as a black man, you can't be afraid. You can't be afraid of your people. You got to have love for your people, man. If you love yourself, man, you want your people to win, you know, you're going to get the job done. You know your people. You got to love your people. You got to trust your heart and trust your God, man. I love my people. That's why I help them. I want my people to win. I know we can win. I know we can overcome all this. Prayer and a big knife. Nah, just pray. You got to pray. You got to pray hard. You got to pray. You got to pray. You got to pray. On my faith. My faith in my God. All my job is from the neck up. I don't do that labor stuff. So I was, I got to be, man, I do them type jobs. So yeah, I got to be a clerk. I was clerk in the kitchen. I can't cook nothing. I had my experiences with that. Early on and stuff, lockup, you know, used to be fun because you said, you know, like I said, you be with all your friends, you know what I mean, like-minded and stuff. But as you get older, not so much. I just love education, love growing, you know what I mean, and love developing, man. So, you know what I mean? So I know education is basically key to our survival. So, you know, I love education. A man did help.
Drops mic.